it's lots of bits of from the Bible, which I'm going to refer to, probably most of these bits, as I talk about this subject. And I think you've called it anger management, or I was thinking more of revenge, that sort of stuff. That's what we're going to think about. Have a listen to this. Have you been wronged, mistreated, annoyed, and ignored? Is someone tormenting you beyond what you can bear? Are you ready for some payback? Then explore our website and find piles of good ideas and novelties. It's an actual website. I mean, there's a website on everything, isn't there? But this is a website called Revenge Unlimited. And it's quite appealing. Its mission, or its purpose, is this. Revenge Unlimited believes that there are people in desperate need of a good dose of humility, and we exist to help you make them get it. Right? And then at the end, it's got this little disclaimer, which I love. It says, by entering the site, you agree to take full responsibility for your own actions. And it is appealing, isn't it? The idea of getting even, I think it's utterly natural in us. Now, some of us are sort of educated enough or have an upbringing enough to know that we're not going to do that violently. Some of us are restrained enough not to take revenge violently. But inside, there's video nasties going on, aren't there? I mean, if you could put the video of what goes on sometimes, it's quite amazing. I was on West Ham Station last week, and it was just interesting. It was quite an explosive sort of feel that was going on. It was late at night. And there was a bloke just walking along, and it was like he got into this massive argument with this other bloke just because the other bloke looked at him. You know, it's just amazing, isn't it? What are you looking at? You're looking at me! Like this. You think, well, yes, of course, because you're shouting your head off, mate. And the other bloke was saying, yeah, I'm looking at you, I'm looking at you. And you thought, well, this whole thing is escalating. It's just that one bloke happened to look at another bloke and he didn't like the look. And now, we may not be like that. We may be actually educated enough to restrain ourselves. But inside, there can be all kinds of things. So revenge, we often call it my rights. You know, we change it. Or if we're more educated, it's justified retaliation. You know, it's sort of in us, isn't it, to get our own back. I don't get mad, someone says. You can open it up, it's all right. I don't get mad, I get even, you know? Have you ever heard that sort of stuff or felt that sort of thing? So deep down, the truth is deep down in the human heart, and us as blokes, is that we want to get even, we want our rights. If someone steps on our rights, we fight, we retaliate. There's constantly that, isn't there? And I mean, the law firms, which I don't know whether any of you work for, but those ones that ring you up in the day, and they're all based on this, aren't they? Do you know, has anyone offended you? Has anyone... I had a law firm ring me up the other day. Actually, this was a few months ago. And they were saying, can you think of anyone you want to sue? This is amazing. So I said, yes. He said, oh, tell me who it is. I said, it's you. Because you're wasting my time. How can I sue you? She said, oh, well, no, we don't do that. So why don't you do that? You've rung me up and asked me whether I want to sue anyone. I want to sue you. And she didn't. She had no humour at all, that woman. But it's basically, isn't it? We want compensation. We want it now. We want to retaliate. And actually, even our heroes, if you think about it, and a lot of films that you see, when someone has been hard done by, the sort of hero is the person that says, I'm not going to take nothing from nobody. You know, that sort of approach to life. And we quite like the macho, tough, get even. The baddie in the film, you know, gets his comeuppance at the end of the film. We sort of, you know, there's something in us that will cheer that and like that. And I think that basically hatred and payback is a very, very natural thing. And it's... feels weird if it isn't. Now, with that in mind, let me read these words of Jesus. I'll try and explain these in a minute, but with that sort of natural, we want to get our own back, you know, you poke me, I'll poke you. You know, I've been treated badly at work, I'm going to take you to the law court sort of attitude. With that in mind, let me just read these words of Jesus, because they're quite devastating and quite irritating. But let me read them. It's on this little sheet. It's the first bit. It's from Matthew's Gospel. It's from a Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached, a very famous sermon, part of it. You've heard that it was said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him another also, the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. They're extraordinary words. They were extraordinary words. Friedrich Nietzsche, the German philosopher, he condemned the whole of Christianity based on those words. He said Christianity is just weak. You read those words and it's just full of weaklings. And he hated it. And he went with a philosophy that was absolutely the opposite to that. That we need to be strong men. You know, the uber sort of men. The strong supermen. Of course, Hitler based his thinking on Nietzsche's philosophy. But, you know, we should demand our rights. It's the weaklings that you know, are under. And we need a powerful, strong person that will be over the weak and get what he wants and his rights and so forth. But actually, the more I've thought about those words of Jesus, it's not for weaklings. It's not for weaklings. It's naturally easy to fight back. That's just the easy thing. You know, you do me wrong, and I want to do you wrong. I may not have the courage to do you wrong, but in my mind, I'm planning. You know? Or I'm dreaming. You know, someone's nicked your seat on the underground. And it's amazing, just little things like that. You were just about to go, and this bloke gets there. And you're festering, aren't you? You're longing for him to get his hand caught in the door as he leaves. Or to trip up, or your foot comes out slightly too far. It's amazing. That is just natural and the easy course. It's like the easy route of a river. What Jesus is talking about is something I think just, it feels weird. It's sort of, we know it's right, but how could we produce that in our life? How could we do that? It's not for weakness. I think Nietzsche's completely wrong. It's for strong people. But when I read it, I think I'm just not strong enough. Someone wrote this. I thought this was quite good. To return evil for good is devilish. That's right, isn't it? To return good for good is human. You know, we all do that. To return good for evil is divine. I think that's it. I think that what Jesus is saying is not only countercultural and counterintuitive, it's supernatural, if we were ever going to do it. So what I want to do is to have a look at it in a little bit more detail, and then we'll see if we've got time for questions. I hope so. So I'm going to try and speed up a bit. The first thing I want us to get in our mind by looking at is my rights then, the natural way. I've already sort of tried to describe it, the natural way. So look what Jesus says in that little number 38, that's the first number, that first reading. He says, you've heard that it was said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. In other words, payback. You poke my eye out, I poke your eye out. You knock my tooth out, I'll knock your tooth out. Now, that actually is a direct quote from the Old Testament part of the Bible. Three times it's in the Old Testament, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But actually what's happening here, these religious people, the Pharisees that Jesus is sort of exposing, they're very, very religious people, very religious people. They were twisting how it was sort of given in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, it was actually a law of mercy, really, because it was basically saying, If someone's done you harm, you can't overcompensate. You know, you can't get, you know, like we used to send people out to Australia for stealing a loaf of bread. For 7 years they were sent out there. which actually sounds quite nice, doesn't it, if you want to go to Australia. That's quite cheap, isn't it? Actually, go and nick a loaf of bread and you get sent out there. But no, it wasn't, because they were terrible places, because it was, you know, it was just like a wilderness. That's just too much, isn't it? That's too much punishment for stealing a loaf of bread, or cutting someone's hand off for stealing a loaf of bread. That's too big. And so this was a good law. It was saying that, you know, the punishment has to fit the crime. You know, don't be silly about it. And it was also to stop sort of escalating feuds. So, you know, you do something to our family and we'll do something bigger back to you, and then you do something bigger back. So that was one thing. But also it was a law that was not for the individual. It was for the state, really. It wasn't a law that was given to the individuals. It was given to judges to sentence. And so it took punishment out of the individual's sort of hands. And it was never literal, except in the case of murder. It was usually financial. So if you poked my eye out, you had to pay me financially for the problems that I would have in my life without one eye. And then it wasn't the whole picture, because we were told in the Old Testament to not seek revenge or bear grudges, but actually to love your neighbour. So it's not the whole picture. So I want us to get that in our mind. It was originally given as a sort of law designed to stop miscarriages of justice, to restrain revenge. That's what it was given for. But these religious bods, these Pharisees of the day of Jesus, they'd taken it as the opposite. And it's just so natural. They'd taken it as the natural route. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You poke my eye, I'm going to poke your eye. That's how they were taking it. And that's just so natural, as I say. And then, of course, you can always add to this. You poke my eye out, and I'm going to poke your eye out, but I'm not going to tell you when. You know, I'm going to jump you as you're walking down the little lanes of Virginia Water, get you on the floor and say, I'm going to poke your eye, and your nervousness, and say, no, I'm not, I'll leave it till later. You know, so you can actually, do you know that? You can actually make this, your whole life can be one of looking over your shoulder. And that's natural. I will hit back. That's absolutely natural. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And that's how these religious bods were taking it. I want my rights. I need my rights. Now let's have a look at the unnatural way. Now just bear with me as we look at this. Jesus' way. Jesus' way, he's saying, is to give up your rights. It's quite staggering. It just... But look at it. It's the way of Jesus, and it's to give up your rights. Look at verse 38 again. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. Leave that to the courts of justice. You, as an individual, don't resist an evil person. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, if you go down to another reading, it's the third one. It's where it says Romans chapter 12, again from the Bible. Here is Paul, the writer of Romans, and he picks this up. And it's very interesting. Look what he says. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, there's tons of stuff in that. We could spend weeks on it. That is staggering. I don't know about you, but that is not my natural state. I do not want to... I'm happy to feed my enemy, but put a bit of poison in the food, aren't you? Yeah? I mean, last year, I've got an allotment because I've got to that age. And, you know, last year all my sweet corn was nicked. About 80 sweet corn was nicked. You know, my wife is much more kind than me. I thought, right, let's poison the next lot of sweet corn, you know, and then we'll find out who did it. My wife said, that is not only illegal, and then she went on and said what else it wasn't. And then I thought, well, why don't I just poison one, you know, and then they can take their pick. But, you know, I don't want to feed my enemy. I mean, what? That's just so unnatural. But he's saying this. I don't know whether you noticed this. He's saying, leave room for God. If you believe in God, it should really affect whether you want revenge. God is the judge, and he will judge, and people won't get away with stuff. And you don't have to personally live a life of revenge. You can stand back in faith and say, well, God will do that, but I'm commanded now to love my enemy in this world. That's a staggering thought. And then Jesus gives four illustrations to make this even more bigger. Look at them. Look, verse 39, he says, turn the other cheek. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Now, he's talking about... Come here a minute. I don't know you, I know, but there you go. He's talking about this, right? Is that burning?
No. I can see it coming.
Yeah. He's talking about the right hand hitting the right cheek. And you have to do it like this. So I've never met you before. Right. And that's an insult. He's not talking about you walking down Virginia Waters or wherever, Staines High Street, and someone grabs you and smacks you in the face, and you're supposed to say, oh, hit me here as well. You know, he's not talking about that. If someone hits you in Staines High Street, run. Okay, that's the best advice. He's not talking about turning the other cheek and doing a sort of Mooney on them. You know, there's two cheeks, mate. He's not talking about that. He's talking about that you've been insulted, because that was an insult. You know, it's a bit like the old years ago when you hit someone with a glove or something. It's an insult. It's saying your whole dignity is, you know, well, this is good fun. You need a shave, though. It's slightly irritating on my soft skin. it's an insult. And Jesus says, turn the other cheek. What does he mean? Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, forgive the person and give them another opportunity. In other words, give them the same cheek. That's what he's really saying. Turn the cheek and say, actually, I'm giving you the opportunity yet again to offend me, to hit me again. That's what he's saying. That's big stuff, isn't it? You know, your name's been brought into disrepute by someone at work. And he's saying, give them the opportunity to do that again. He's not saying be treated like a doormat, but he's saying, I'll forgive this person and I'll start again with them. There's a clean cheek. That's his point. Don't retaliate. Now, I don't know about you, but you've got to be tough not to do that. Really strong. It's not for the weak. Nietzsche's wrong. In another part of the Bible, which I don't think I put on here. Yes, I have. Right at the bottom there. It talks about Jesus, as strong as Jesus. Look what it says at 1 Peter bit. It says, if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To do this, to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found on his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He so believed in God the judge. That is strong. That is unnatural. That is supernatural. Here was Jesus, and people were in a frenzy, beating him up, swearing at him, spitting at him, kicking him in. He could have called a legion of angels, we're told, but he did not retaliate, and he said, Father, forgive them. That is not natural, and yet Jesus is saying that's what we should be like. Look, here's the second illustration. I must hurry quick. Give the other cloak. So give the other cheek, give the other cloak. Sentence 40. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Now, the interesting thing here is the cloak, however poor you were, was never allowed in law to be taken away from you. And so what he's saying here, people could sue you for your tunic, but they could never sue you for your cloak. Yeah, every poor man was allowed a cloak. That's what's, you get that from the Old Testament. Now, listen, the principle here then is, even my rights, my cloak, even my rights in law, my cloak, for the sake of relationships, I'll give up. Give your cloak even. Amazing, isn't it? It's just unnatural, this, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. Does anyone suffer from road rage here? I mean, you do, yes. Well, watch him then. Let him go first when he goes. But, you know, I don't know about you. I know enough not to stick my fingers up and swear at people. And, you know, there's someone who's bibbing you behind or something. And I know how, don't you know how to do this? You know, there they are, they're trying to overtake you, and you're in no hurry, so you just, as they try to overtake you, slightly drift out, so they can't do it. Don't you do this? And then there's the traffic lights, you know he wants to get through, and you slightly slow down, and oh, you missed the traffic lights, oh, he has to stop. You know, it's my right to drive like that. But I'm to give those rights up. It's amazing. This is unnatural. Okay, look at the third illustration. Go the other mile. Verse 41. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. That was a Roman law. You classically see that with the cross of Jesus. Remember when he was carrying the cross and then he fell, and then the Romans got Simon of Cyrene to actually carry the cross. It's that sort of stuff. They could ask for 1 mile. But what Jesus is saying is, actually shock them and show that you've got a king that's bigger than the Roman Caesar. You've got an emperor bigger than the emperor, because you're working under the law of being generous. So they ask for 1 mile, give them 2. That's unnatural. And then look at the fourth one. Give to those who ask. Verse 42. Give to those who ask. Do not turn away. Be generous. Even for people who don't deserve it, be generous towards them. Now, what I'm telling you this is all, I'm showing you what Jesus said, and I'm saying, Jesus, I know all this is right, and it's much better than living with revenge, but it's totally, utterly unnatural. And that's what I'm trying to get home. I'm nearly done now. The natural way is payback, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Jesus' way is, I can't do that. It's unnatural. It's all very well for him to tell me to be like this, but I can't, even if I'm religious. It's just unnatural. And what that reveals is, do you know what it reveals? That we are lawbreakers before God. The two big summary laws of the whole of the Bible are, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. And I can't. I just can't. So it's a stupid law, isn't it? I can't. Because I live naturally with revenge and hate. And how can you command someone to love? I mean, if I said to you, I've got a girl at our church, love her. You know, you say, well, I haven't even seen her. When you see her, you will. No. But I haven't even. Oh, you're married. Well done. It's ridiculous. How can you command love? I mean, you could command give money or something, or obey this law that I can actually do, but I can't obey a law of love. It seems ridiculous. So what's Jesus on about here? Well, he does two things. It exposes us. We're miles away from God. God doesn't want us to live like a revengeful life, but we're full of revenge. Petty things about road rage. people in the office that have eaten the bun that we wanted, are sitting, people sitting on the seat that we wanted to sit on. They're so, we're full of it. And all it reveals is that I'm not in line with what God wants. It absolutely reveals that I'm the disaster area when it comes to wanting to be like God. Because even if I wanted to be, I can't, but most of the time I don't want to be because I quite like revenge. There's something wrong with me. No, I hope you get that. I hope you get that. And that's why I need something supernatural. Christianity is not just, here's a load of laws you should obey, stop not obeying them and obey them. Because I can't. That's religion. There's something supernatural. Jesus says to one of these religious blokes, you need to be born again. Now, the trouble is that term, it's got sort of bad connotations now. But basically, it's, in other words, you need something supernatural. You need God implanted in your life to help you do the God thing, the Jesus way. Otherwise, you'll just do the natural thing. You need a supernatural act. I love the Gospels because in it, you find Jesus commanding people to do things that are just they're unable to do. On one occasion, I was reading this in our own church recently, he goes up to a bloke who hasn't got a hand. You know, so it's like, I'm sorry, you're there. It's because you sat there. It's your problem. So he's got a completely shriveled hand. There's no hand. Right. There's no hand. Jesus says to this bloke, he commands the bloke, stretch out your hand. Well, it's stupid because he hasn't got a hand to stretch out. The bloke should have said, are you having a joke? It's like saying to a bloke with no legs, walk. Isn't it crazy? Stretch out your hand. He hasn't got a hand to stretch out. But then, with the command comes the power. It's a command that he will fulfill. Stretch out your hand. He did it. Jesus goes up to a bloke. He's been dead for 3 days. 4 days, isn't it? So much so people say, it's a great line in the old version of the Bible, the Authorized Version, behold, he stinketh. You know, of course he does. He's been dead in a hot country for 4 days. Jesus says, open the tomb up. He commands the man by name, Lazarus, come out. What a ridiculous command. You try it if you think it's, you know. I was at a funeral a couple of weeks ago. Imagine if I said, open up the coffin. You know, I think the blokes would take me down. Rightly so. The bloke's gone nuts. Open up the coffin and Mr. Reddington, come out. But Jesus said this, and it's a command to a dead man, and yet the command has the power. And the words are living, and the man comes out. These words show us a number of things, these words of Jesus, the unnatural way. I'm dead when it comes to God's way of life. But he speaks to us. And in that sort of response, to the command, I'm dead, I can't live a life of love. I'm just not up to it. It shows us that we're bad. But something as well shows us that God has come to deal with this. And that's what Jesus is all about. That as you see him on the cross, the King of the universe, being nailed on a cross by the people he's already created, and he's dying there to forgive. There's something so powerful about that vision of the cross of Jesus that it touches me. I know I'm forgiven. And when I know I'm forgiven, I can forgive. When I know that I'm so well loved and I'm secure in God, and it matters what he thinks, therefore it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks. They may slap me on the cheek, they may laugh at me and put me down, they may do better financially than I do because they're ripping me off. But actually, I have this treasure in God, and I'm forgiven, and I'm forgiven all of my evil and all of my failures and my revengeful life. I'm forgiven. I know that treasure, so I can forgive. There's a power in the message. It's amazing. It's amazing. And that's how I'm born again.